I'm so glad you are here tonight. Everyone is here who is supposed to be here tonight. There are some who plan to be here who are not here. There are some who did not really plan who wound up here. God knew exactly who would be here tonight.
Amen.
Our God, whom we serve, is in control of it all. Paul tells us in Ephesians 1:11, He works all things after the counsel of His own will. If you're here tonight, God may have a word for you. Are you prepared to hear all that He has to say? Let's pray. Merciful Father, we thank You for the privilege we have of coming to You. We recognize our insufficiency, O Lord. As we preach the gospel, to some we're the savor of life unto life, to some death unto death. And who is sufficient for these? But You are our sufficiency. We trust that You will send Your Holy Spirit to reprove, to convict, to convince who Jesus is. We ask it in His name. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to be talking to you tonight from the 10th chapter of Acts. The Apostle Peter had been on a round, and he had been summoned to Joppa because one of the saints had died, and they sent for him to come quickly. I'm not quite sure what they expected him to do. But you know that Dorcas was raised from the dead, and Peter tarried in the house of Simon the tanner. Don't know why the tanner lived by the seaside. You'd think fishermen would live by the seaside. God set some things in motion here. There was a Roman soldier. He was tough. You didn't get to be a centurion by being a sissy. His name was Cornelius. He was a just man. He was devout. He feared the God of Israel. Devout. He prayed. He fasted. He gave alms to the poor. And one day, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, he saw a strange sight. He saw a being with shining clothes on who spoke to him and said, "Cornelius, your prayers are heard. They've come up as a memorial before God. Send to Joppa and ask for Simon Peter. He's in the house of Simon, a tanner, which is by the seaside. He will tell you what you ought to do." Sure enough, Cornelius did. He called two of his household servants and one of the soldiers and sent them to Joppa to get Peter. It was more than a day's trip. The next day, it was at noon, and Peter had gone up on the rooftop to pray, and he became very hungry and would have eaten, but while they made preparation, he fell into a trance. and saw heaven opened, and a vessel descended in front of him, like a sheet that was woven together at the four corners, and in it were all manner of beasts, wild beasts, creeping things. And a voice came to him and said, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." I think it had an armadillo on it. And Peter said, "Not so, Lord. I have never eaten anything that was common or unclean." And the voice came again and said, "What God hath cleansed, that call not thou common." It was repeated three times. And then the sheet went back up into heaven. And Peter woke up. And he was much perplexed. What was that all about? And a voice came to Peter and said, "There are three men downstairs looking for you. You go with them because I sent them to get you. Don't have any misgivings about it." Yes, sir. That's where we'll start to read Acts 10:24. "And the morrow after, they entered in Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him and fell down at his feet and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, 'Stand up. I myself also am a man.' And as he talked with him, he went in and found many that were come together, and he said unto them, 'You know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or come unto one of another nation. But God has showed me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying as soon as I was sent for. I ask therefore for what intent you have sent for me.' And Cornelius said, 4 days agone I was fasting until this hour. And at the ninth hour I prayed in my house. And behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing and said, 'Cornelius, thy prayer is heard. And thine alms are had in remembrance in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call hither Simon, whose surname is Peter. He is lodged in the house of one Simon, a tanner by the seaside, who, when he cometh, shall speak unto thee. Immediately therefore I sent to thee, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore are we all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God.' Then Peter opened his mouth and said, 'Of a truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, but in every nation he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, that word I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we're witnesses of all these things, which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree. Him God raised up the third day, and showed him openly, not to all the people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he which was ordained of God to be the judge of living and dead. To him give all the prophets witness that through his name whosoever believeth in him shall receive remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them which heard the word. Now the things that Cornelius was told was to send for Simon Peter. The importance of it is emphasized by Peter when he had to give a rehash on getting back to Jerusalem. I'm reading from Acts 11, verse 13. He quotes Cornelius as saying, "Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be saved." So this was the occasion for the gathering of a crowd. Cornelius was convinced of the reality and the importance of what was coming up. God had, in mercy, spoken a word to him. And so what did he do? He called for his kinfolk and near friends. Verse 27. It was 24. Had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And when Peter got there, in verse 27, he found many that were come together. Sort of like tonight.
Yes.
Sort of like tonight. And what was their attitude? It was voiced by Cornelius. "We are here present before God to hear all things that are commanded of God." Let's listen to him. In the past, God had spoken to the Hebrew nation. When the Lord Jesus sent his disciples, he said, Go to the land of Israel, witness to the Jews. Into any of the Samaritans, to the heathen, you're not to go. When he encountered the Syrophoenician woman, he said, "It is not meet, it is not appropriate, it is not fitting to take the children's bread and to give it to dogs." But she prevailed. She had whatever she wanted. There were intimations of God's broader purposes long before. There was the cleansing of Naaman the Syrian. There was the widow of Zarephath, whose child was raised from the dead. There was these broad intimations of God's worldwide purpose. But at the death of Christ, Matthew records in Matthew 27, verse 51, "The veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. The earth did quake and the rocks rent." Well, what did that all mean? It meant that the way into the holiest of all was now open. Open to whom?
Yes, sir.
open to the priest. But Peter tells us in 1 Peter 2:9, you are a chosen generation. These who believe in Jesus are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And John in his doxology, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and has made us kings and priests unto God. Ah. And so the veil is rent. We have access to the mercy seat. We can come boldly to our God to find grace, to find mercy, grace to help in time of need. So God conditioned Peter with the vision and with a direct word to go with these men. And the commission of Acts 1:8 was carried out. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And so, the Lord Jesus had come. John tells us in John 1:11, he was in the world, and the world was made by him. The world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You get that? John says it again, 1 John 3:1, behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God. Adopted into the family. Consider this sermon that Peter preached. He said, that word, I say, which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. That word, I say, you know. I take it that Cornelius may have actually heard about this disturbance that they had in Galilee and Jerusalem. And Cornelius had probably read the prophets, because Peter refers him to the prophets. That word you know. And so I ask you, you've heard about Jesus. If someone asks you, do you believe the Bible is true? You would say, yes, you know, I believe the Bible is true. Everybody believes. No, everybody doesn't really believe the Bible is true. But here, Peter says that word that God sent, that word was Jesus Christ. John 1:14, the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. That was Jesus Christ preaching peace. Yes, so Cornelius was a Jewish proselyte. He worshipped the God of Israel. He was seeking to please God. The God who had said to by the psalmist, blessed is the man who considereth the poor. He gave alms. And yet there was something needful. And Peter, when he came, gave him the word that was needful. Cornelius was ready to hear a word from God. want you to tell us all the words that God has commanded for us. Not everybody is willing to hear all the words that God has for them. There was a king of Israel, Judah, in the old times, who took the book that Jeremiah had written, and it was read, and he didn't like that page, and he had a penknife, and he tossed it in the fire. Another page. And in our day, if Scripture crosses our moral or doctrinal or scientific ideas, then it is cut out with the sharp blade of scholarship and cast into the fire of higher criticism. You heard the Song of Moses read tonight. And Moses concluded that, and he said unto them, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which you shall command your children to observe to do, all the words of this law. For it is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. It is your life. God was no longer dealing with only one nation. God is no respecter of persons. Racism, bigotry, no longer are the rules of the game. But the Scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, for there is no difference between the Jew. No difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Peter witnesses here to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth. Him God raised up the third day and showed him openly. This is a biological impossibility. Those of you who know are aware that I worked in the emergency room, and it was our responsibility to resuscitate. But if there had been an absence of breathing and circulation for 10 minutes, the brain was dead. 10 minutes. It would all be useless. But I'm not talking about a man who was resuscitated after a while. I'm talking about a man who had died and been buried 3 days. And God raised him to life. Do you believe that really happened?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
If you can believe that, then the Holy Spirit has done a work in your heart.
Amen.
Amen.
There you go.
This is what Peter told them. To him give all the prophets witness.
Yes. Yes.
That through his name, whosoever believeth in Him shall receive remission of sin.
Yes, sir.
This Jesus that you've heard about, He was sent from God. He died for the sins of His people. He was buried. He rose from the dead after 3 days. And if God has prepared your heart, then you can believe that and receive forgiveness of sins. Whosoever. That means you.
Amen.
But there's a limitation. Do you believe? Trust. Are you willing to trust Him now?
Yes.
Trust Him forever with your life, with all that you will ever be. God sent His Son to be our surety. That's a big word that means the one who guarantees that we will arrive where we're supposed to be.
Yeah, there is.
To be our substitute. The one who takes our place. The one who vicariously suffered for our sins. For my sins. Providing a great salvation. And it is free, but it is not cheap. It comes to us freely, but it was provided at tremendous cost.
Yes, sir.
He that spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not also with us freely give us all things. And Peter says, because of what he did, all the judicial powers have been invested in Him. Did you hear that? Verse 42, and He commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is He which was ordained of God to be the judge of quick and dead. He is not going to be the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court.
No.
He will be the court.
Yes. Yes.
And He will judge righteously.
Yes, sir.
Now, do you understand what righteously means? Righteously doesn't mean if your good deeds overnumber your bad deeds, you get in. No. We ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and every disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? To stand before the thrice holy God, and we sang, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. To stand before Him, we must be perfectly righteous.
Yes, sir.
Only in the robe, only in the wedding garment provided by our groom can we stand before the thrice holy God thus. God moved all the pieces of the puzzle together. He got the messenger in the right place with the right frame of mind with the right message. He had the listeners called together and ready to hear. Note, Cornelius was a soldier, but he didn't send out his contingent and arrest these that he wanted gathered. They were invited. They were called together. But they were not coerced. They came, and they were all there ready to hear all that God commanded. And then the absolutely essential factor was put in action. The Holy Spirit came and gave hearing to the ears, understanding to the minds, conviction to the hearts, and so the work was done. They were born again, converted, translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Long ago, Ezekiel the prophet was commanded by God to, he was transported to a valley that was full of dry bones, apparently the scene of an earlier conflict, full of dry bones. And he was given the assignment, preach to these dry bones. What use is that? Bones can't, dead bones. Ezekiel was not hesitant to do what he was commanded, and so he prophesied. And there was a rattling, bone to his bone. But the work was not yet done. I beheld, lo, the sinews and flesh came upon them. Skin covered them. There was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. Ezekiel did what he was told to do. And then the breath came. And so, tonight, I say, come, O breath.
Yes.
Breathe upon these who have heard,
yes,
that they may live. I want to recapitulate. You may have heard about Jesus. You may have read some in the Bible. The word from God is this. A remedy for sin has been provided. Provided by God Himself. And that remedy is through His name. Whosoever believeth in Him shall receive remission of sins. Paul puts it this way in Galatians 4:4, in the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Because you're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba. Abba, Father. Do you believe that? Has God given you ears to hear? A heart to believe? Then the Holy Spirit has begun a work in you. And Paul wrote to the Philippians, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. If He has given you a heart to believe, then you can call on the name of the Lord and receive remission of sins, forgiveness, cleansing, standing with God. Thank you.